FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is March 14th, 2017. So we've been watching gold stocks, precious metal stocks, in a bit of a pullback. And we've seen the physical metal hold up a bit better than the stocks. And this was all somewhat predicted by our next guest. You've heard him here a number of times, talking about Eric Haddock, InsideTrack.com, among other websites. That's Inside with two I's, InsideTrack.com, track.com. Eric, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me back, Terry. My pleasure.
Sure thing. So, hey, so you put out a warning not too long ago that mining stocks, precious metal stocks, kind of were hitting a point where they hit a peak and they're going to pull back. How did that? You seem to be right on the money. How did we get there?
Well, there were a lot of factors that went into that, and I think you're referring to my February 8th alert that was a multi-page publication that enumerated all of the factors, short-term, intermediate, and even a little bit longer-term, that were saying that the gold stock indexes, in particular the XAU and the HUI, were all signaling an imminent top around February 8th, and the XAU had an upside target of 97.33, and it had hit 97.20 on the day that report was put out. And all these factors were showing that the rebound from the mid-December low was reaching fruition and culminating at that point, and that the decline we had seen in third and fourth quarter of last year was poised to resume. Now looking back at that a month ago, those indexes did end up topping on February 8th and 9th and have given back about 70-80% of the early year rally that they saw. So that is powerfully corroborating that analysis. But there was a lot of factors from a longer term basis, the way that those gold stocks hit their lows in December, and this is based on a monthly trend pattern that I've discussed in my work, but the way they hit that told me to look for a 1 to 2 month bounce, but that new lows would still be seen before a final bottom could take hold. And by new lows, I mean compared to those mid-December 2016 lows, not the January 2016 major bottom. I think that one's going to hold. But I think that for the decline that the gold stocks had seen since August, that these indicators showed that we still needed to spike below the December lows after an intervening bounce. And so that was the broad picture all along. And then when we reached all those upside objectives, had many key cycles coming into play in early February, it all just fit together very nicely. And that's when I put out that alert and said that an intermediate top was forming and it was time to resume the downtrend in those. The thing to really distinguish that I had also warned in those alerts was that new 3 to 6 month lows in gold stocks does not mean new 3 to 6 month lows in the bullion price in gold and silver. Those metals I expect to hold above their December lows.
Yeah. Now, originally you were saying like gold would hit 1200 December lows, so it went a bit below that, you know, on an intraday basis. I don't remember exactly what the low was. It's like 1150 something.
Oh, back in December. The mid-year
right
peak, the primary downside target was 1200, and as we got closer to that, there were some extended targets that were published. But yeah, that was when we were peaking, and no one could imagine that gold wasn't going to continue going to the moon in July. I was looking for it to head back down to at least 1,200.
Mm-hmm. So it pretty much behaved according to plan. And so now we're in the new year. And what are you seeing ahead for it? Because it's going to diverge, according to what you're saying, from the stocks, effectively. So
yeah, I put in early January, I even put out a very basic sketch of what I thought we would see for gold during the year. And the first two aspects of that sketch that I put out was for a rebound into early March and then to turn down and see a correction into early May. And so that is kind of the very general 3 to 6 month outlook that I had for the first half of 2017. And then as we get into the second half is when I think that a more sustained bull market will begin to take hold in gold and silver. There's some specific price objectives for this correction and also some trigger points that would confirm the upside later on in the year. But that remains the outlook. But as I've warned for the last year and a half, I did not think that we would see an all-out, full-blown, to-the-moon bull market for at least a couple years from dating back to that late 2015 cycle low, because metals, just like the oil markets as well, they had suffered so much in the preceding years that there needed to be an extended bottoming phase, as you see almost every time. I mean, this is just a kind of standard market movement with some specifics overlaid in there. But just from a broad-based perspective, you need a bottoming phase before a real accelerated bull market can take hold.
So we just weren't quite there yet.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. So what about the stock market? We've had this Trumpphoria since Trump was elected. And I mean, it's really just been totally unexpected, remarkable in its increase, especially in the smaller caps, the Russell 2000 and the NASDAQ. I mean, really, really zoomed.
Yeah, and obviously that's on a lot of expectations, which is what the market is. I mean, for the most part, the market's always discounting expectations for the next 3 to 6 months. So probably the real key is that now that the market has discounted all these, just like you said, euphoric expectations, the question is, can the reality even come close to meeting those expectations? And that's what you usually see in the market, that the market anticipates something, that the pendulum always swings way farther than is rationally justified. And then when reality starts to set in, the opposing reaction, the downside reaction, is twice as bad as it should be because the market has swung so far in the positive direction. So it would not surprise me to see, you know, as some of these things get, some of the expectations get delayed or those expectations get moderated a bit, normally you would say, well, that's not bad. You know, it's, you know, maybe it still is a positive, just not as positive as we thought it would be. Well, from a market perspective, that's very bad. It's like when, you know, your stock traders on a quarterly basis are waiting for earnings, and a stock that, you know, made 20 cents in earnings last quarter and they're expecting it to make 30 this time and it only comes out as 25. You've got people saying, oh, well, 25 is better than 20, so we should be heading up. But the 30 was already built into the price of the stock leading into that earnings report. So now it has to correct to get back to that equilibrium point. And once the downside momentum of that correction starts taking hold, it always overshoots where it should be. And so even from a general market perspective, I've been saying that March 2017 to March 2018 would be when we would see a more convincing downtrend in the markets. And I, over the last 6 months, have kind of spelled out and detailed some of the longer term cycles that are all, they'll all be in bearish phases between late March 2017 and into March 2018, whereas up until now, over the last couple of years, they've been in on-again, off-again synchronicity. But when you look at a pretty well-known 10-year decennial cycle, and you go back over the last 8 decades, the 7 year of each decade has had a panic and or a market serious correction. And some of those panics were global, were not started in America. So it's not just a U.S.-based perspective there, but with global markets being so intertwined, the contagion can start anywhere and reverberate through all the markets. But that decennial cycle, like I said, the last 8 decades and 13 out of the last 16 decades has seen panics of some form or another during this 7 year. And you've got a 17-year cycle that I've been discussing for the last 20 years. And it has just traced out this, when you look at the last 100 years of the stock market, it's traced out a perfect cycle progression. And I would have to, you could see that illustrated on my websites and whatnot. But this cycle progression is something where you see a sequence of four lows come into play at a specific cycle duration. And then after the fourth one, you get a extended upswing, and then the market starts to top on that same cycle timing. So in this case, 17-year cycle has just pinpointed major turning points in the market, going back to the late 1890s, and then a subsequent major low in 1915, then the granddaddy of all lows in 1932, then you had a secondary low in 1949, and then the market went on a pretty much 17-year upswing into a peak in 1966, and that's where the cycle flips and starts timing highs. You saw a subsequent high in 1983, and then in March of 2000, a multi-year top, each one of those separated by 17 years. Mm-hmm. And the next phase of that cycle is right now, March 2017, which is when I think there is a pretty high chance of a multi-month and probably larger magnitude than that peak in the equity markets. So we've got a lot, and that's just the 10 and 17 are just a few of the cycles that I've been talking about. I've also honed that down a little bit to a 5 and 10 month cycle that have governed the action of the last couple of years, and a 32 to 33 week cycle. And all of them are focused on the March-April timeframe as the first danger period of 2017. So I'm looking for signs of that. I actually, on a daily basis, a couple of indexes, the Dow Transports and the Russell 2000, have given me daily trend reversals to the downside. And so that's kind of the first step in a 1,000-mile journey type of thing. That's the first signal that I look for. And so I want to see now some of the other indexes do the same during what I expect to be a second little sell-off here, little in timing, from now potentially into the beginning of April. So you've got a lot of things coming together and at least providing some very significant potential for a major reversal in here. Now I just need to see price action validate and confirm that potential.
Yeah, so it sounds like a lot of things are converging here.
Exactly, and I really only touched on part of them.
Yeah. So what's a hapless investor to do at this point? Is it time to get out of the market or reduce your exposure? What do you do?
Well, I do have some levels, and as time evolves, those levels keep rising to where if the Dow Industrials and the NASDAQ 100 close below these levels, that would be the first signal to me to start lightening up. Those are distinct from what I'm about to describe, but one of the key things that I'm watching in all of the indexes, and it's getting pretty close in the Dow Transports, and that is the early January low. And I place a lot of significance on the opening range of different periods of time. And so the opening days of the month have great significance, even the opening hours of a week. And once a market moves away from that opening range in whichever direction, that range becomes very pivotal, in this case, support. So when we set lows at the very beginning of the year, and then these equity markets moved higher into late February, early March, the January lows, the lows of the year, became more significant and a very decisive support point for the months going forward. And so that's kind of a key level that I'm watching. And if any of the indexes were to give weekly closes below those January lows, that would tell me we've probably got a 3 to 6 month peak in place. And that would be one of those trigger points where I would start to lighten up on long positions.
Interesting. And hey, one other thing, what about oil? It broke, it hit 54, I believe. Now it's broken $50 again. Where's that one heading?
Well, that kind of like I alluded to when talking about gold and silver, when crude was collapsing in 2014, 2015, all of my work kept saying that early 2016 should be the major bottom, but that it would take at least 1 to 2 years for a bottoming phase to play out, where, yes, we see what I still think is the ultimate low, and it was set in January of 2016, but that, you know, the setting of a major low does not mean the onset of a major bull market. And you get, when that much damage has been done, you know, even if you talk about the fundamental ramifications of that and the what it does for production, what it does even for, you know, the shale industry and fracking industry in the United States, a lot of that takes a long time to play through the market. First, the negative ramifications of it, that, you know, it doesn't impact production right away, but after oil has been below certain levels for 6 months, 12 months, then all of a sudden you start to get the real shutdowns or suspension of certain wells and drilling areas. And even then, it takes some time for a full-blown bull market to be able to take hold again. And I think that's what we're seeing in crude, and that there still is a lot more of this consolidation to go before I think that crude would start breaking above critical resistance levels, like that $60 a barrel point. And between now and then, that I've got a very important time frame in early May that I'm watching, and then a little farther out in the year, September, October. Both of those time frames, I expect to see multi-month bottoms set, but the levels of those bottoms are going to be determined by the price action between now and then.
Interesting. And I guess to some extent, the dollar is tied in with this as well.
Absolutely. And that is everything we're talking about. I think ultimately will be impacted by the dollar. And I have expected to see a pretty significant top in the dollar in 2017, although I'm looking more out towards the May timeframe. But conversely to what I was just describing with crude and with gold, on the flip side with the dollar, just because it topped doesn't mean that there suddenly is a dollar collapse. It means that you may see your highest point in the second quarter of this year, but I would expect if there is going to be a multi-year bear market, which there's several things need to play out before I'd be convinced of that. But if that's going to be the case, it probably wouldn't take hold with any vengeance until very late this year, early next year, before key support levels are really broken. And that's when it starts to impact some of these correlated markets.
Right.
That just because the dollar's topped and has consolidated and retraced a bit doesn't mean that gold and crude are suddenly in a major bull market. It's more when you get those accelerated moves that intermarket correlation starts to hold a little bit truer.
Right. Yeah. So they're all connected, all these markets. That's an interesting thing. So when one starts to move one way, then you need to start paying attention.
Right. And it's kind of like you and I have talked about with the distinction between gold bullion and gold stocks, that with the gold stocks, there's so many other factors impacting the price of that gold stock. It's not just the price of the raw material. It's everything to do with currency risk, with the corporation itself, with administrative expenses. There's all these other things. So it's only when gold is in a full-blown bull market or bear market that the gold stock prices are going to move in almost lockstep with the price of the bullion. When you're in those moderate moves and moderate swings, they start to diverge a bit more, like we just saw over the last month, where gold and silver continued to rally into the very end of February. Silver even set its peak on the first day of March, even though gold stocks had been selling off sharply for 3 weeks. Well, that same principle applies to things like crude versus the dollar. You know, the dollar is an important factor in the pricing of crude, but it's far from the only factor. And so it's only when the dollar is really in an accelerated move, like you saw in 2014, 2015, when the dollar was in an accelerated rally, that's when crude saw its real collapse. And so that's when those intermarket correlations are a little more reliable. But what I've seen and heard traders struggling with the most is when they're trying to apply that correlation on a day-to-day and week-to-week and even month-to-month basis, when the lead market, in this case the dollar, is not accelerating. And if it's not accelerating, it's not a big enough influence on the secondary market, in this case crude, to really have a profound impact. So if you're trying to trade off of it, you're usually meeting with a lot of frustration.
Yeah. So I can see that. I've encountered it myself in the past. So 2017, 2018, you know, you've said for a long time, I mean, for years, that this is the time for gold.
Yeah. And I think that is going to be something that moves in stages, that, you know, that later this year, I think will be more pronounced than what we've seen early this year. But that doesn't mean it's skyrocketing all at once.
Right.
And then as you move into 2018, that intensity and acceleration increases another multiple. And it's, you know, when you look at charts of any of these markets, usually the most accelerated move is in the final weeks or months of a trend. And often, you know, sometimes 50, 60, 70% of the magnitude or price level of the move comes in the last 10% of the timing part of the trend or the cycle.
Sure.
You even look at, you know, I think a perfect illustration of the differences between like gold and gold stocks is looking at the moves from 2008 into 2011, where, you know, that was the final of the 12-year bull market in gold from 1999 to 2011. That was the final 3 years or the final 25% of that move. And yet about 60% or 70% of gold's gains were seen in that period, and you can even narrow that down more.
Right.
And when gold was surging, I forget whether it was, I remember doing the numbers on this, but it had surged, I think about 70, 80% above its previous highs from 2008 to 2011, had surged mm-hmm. above its 2006 peak. Gold stocks were only able to spike about 10% above their previous peak, just kind of showing that divergence, but also the principle I was talking about here, where the accelerated move, the big move, is often at the very end of the trend.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Well, I guess we got a lot of volatility and a lot of events that are going to help shape these markets ahead of us here, Eric. And that's why people are going to definitely want to keep up with what you're doing. You got several websites to direct us to?
Yeah, as you mentioned in the beginning, the flagship website is insidetrack.com with the double I in the middle, insidetrack.com. And then where we have also archived a lot of the analysis and publications related to the 40-year cycle and related to the 17-year cycle, which are two of the most profound multi-year and/or generational cycles that I've seen in not just the markets, but in geopolitics and everything else. But we have those two websites at 40-year cycle and 17-year cycle.com, that being with the number 40-year cycle and 17-year cycle.com.
All right. And we will have a link to your sites on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And make sure you sign up for a newsletter. Any questions, comments on this interview or any others we've done, send us an email, kl@carrylutz.com. That's kl@carrylutz.com. Eric, thanks so much for coming on and enlightening us again. It definitely sounds like interesting times ahead, and we better get prepared.
Exactly. And thanks for having me back, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.